Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Let's get to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I bet we could get this person's recollection. Jason Lloyd joins us on the show right now. Hello, Jason.
Good morning, boys.
Jason on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Okay, do you remember hearing these stories about maybe Ron Harper not wanting to play defense as badly as he says he did in that documentary?
I don't think anyone ever really thought of Ron Harper as a lockdown defender. I don't think. I was a kid. But, you know, just because you're not a lockdown defender doesn't mean you can't play defense on one play. LeBron proved that for 4 years. He didn't play defense at all in the rest of the season, and then he became a lockdown defender in the playoffs. You know, the whole thing is, I think there probably is a little bit of revisionist history going on with it. But really the issue to me was, you can get into that with him when you have him on, but Craig was hurt. And I think he had missed a game earlier in the series. I know Mark missed a game earlier in the series with a hamstring. Craig had a bad ankle or something. I'm trying to remember now. So that may have been it more than anything with Ron, of like, hey, man, this guy's hurt. This is Michael Jordan. And I understand he wasn't the Jordan that Jordan eventually came to be, but still, everyone knew he was kind of a feared player and a guy who was coming, a guy who was on the rise, that you're putting a guy with a bad ankle on. So that it could have been as simple as that. You know, it's just one little snippet is all we saw of in the whole documentary. It's just one little quote from Ron with no really context around it.
So you really think it was maybe Lenny Wilkins's gaffe?
Yeah, could have been. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Sure.
All right.
Jason Lloyd, join us on the hotline. So far from what you've seen, do you have any issue with the way that this documentary has illustrated those times? Do you think any of this is revisionist history? I know the Isaiah Thomas, Michael Jordan stuff has been brought up a lot lately.
Yeah, and this is definitely told through Michael's eyes. I don't think there's any question about that. And I talked to Wayne Embry yesterday, and I didn't ask him about Michael's comments, or else I'd have a better answer for you. I probably should have. But I talked to Wayne about a couple things for something I'm doing later on, and we just kind of stumbled into the conversation about the documentary and about, he hasn't seen all of it, but he's really not happy with the way that Jerry Krause has been portrayed in all of this. And I actually wrote that for today. I don't even think it's out yet. But Wayne said that, like, he really doesn't respect at all the way that they're portraying Jerry. It's not fair. And said that, you know, he was a pioneer, Jerry was, for the way that he went about scouting some of his techniques. And Wayne said that Jerry made relationships with guys, with coaches at the Division II and Division III level, and the HBCU coaches. And Wayne said, you know, this might all sound like common sense today, but that scouting was different 30 years ago. It wasn't quite as extensive as it is today. And, you know, Wayne believes that's why Jerry made the trade to go up and get Scottie Pippen out of, you know, little Central Arkansas, because he had a little bit more of a relationship and knew a little bit more about him. And he said the way that he would scout, he would look at guys' parents and see, you know, what their body structure would look like as adults. And if dad was a monster, you know, the kid had a better chance of filling out because of genetics. And Wayne really liked and respected Jerry. They were contemporaries. They were friends. They went on scouting trips together. So Wayne really didn't appreciate the way that Jerry's being portrayed. And I know he's not alone in that. You know, Jerry's being portrayed as sort of this ego-driven monster who needed all of this credit. And I know that's just not sitting well with a few people, including Wayne.
Jason, can you go definitively on the record right now and say you're a better dancer than Jerry Krause? Did you see his moves?
No, I can't. I am a horrible, horrible dancer. I look like a drunk on two broken ankles.
You want to know something here? You go ask Liz. Go ask her on Twitter how good of a dancer when I got about 6 or 8 black velvets in me at a wedding.
Oh, I've seen you in the kitchen. I've seen your Twitter videos. You dance in the kitchen. You win. I can't keep
Liz,
up with that.
Liz will say, like, I don't know if you guys see, there's, like, I don't really watch a lot of Family Guy, but there's the one episode I remember where doesn't he play the piano drunk and he's like a savant? Liz says that's how I dance at a wedding when I'm loaded. I'm that good of a dancer when I'm drunk. Like, it would be a viral video.
Only drunk, not sober?
Oh, if I'm sober, I can't do anything. But, boy, if I'm about a half a bottle in of the velvet, it's over. Away we go, friendo.
Is she drunk, too, and this is skewing her view of the thing?
You know what? It might be, but usually she's a lot more sober than I because, obviously, she has to be the one who makes the arrangements for the evening because I will not be bothered. So I would give her thought on that. Yeah, I would say that'd be right, yeah.
We'll find out at Lyman's wedding. We'll find out what kind of dancer you are.
I'll
oh, that's a destination.
Yeah.
Come on, that's going to be a destination. That's going to be expensive to go to, let's be honest.
When he when he marries his version of Anna Nicole Smith in 60 years, that's how that's going to work out. Go ahead, Anthony.
And I'll still have the lawyers making sure to prepare the documents. Jason Lloyd, join us right now. So go through from the people you're talking to, and I know you're talking to some of the great journalists you work with and also your insiders around all the leagues. What does it look like for basketball, baseball, football right now in terms of getting back to normal?
It's kind of split. There's a faction of people who just want to call it and just want to say, you know, this is silly. Let's just forget it. And there's quite a faction that say, let's go play. Let's get this back. So, you know, I would imagine there's going to be NBA. The NBA is going to come back. I don't know that it'll be regular season. It kind of makes sense to me to go right into postseason. But at the same time, you know, they are trying to recoup the revenue, and these guys are going to need a little bit of a runway to kind of get back in shape. So maybe the finishing off the regular season serves as a little bit of that runway. I don't know. I know that I've been a proponent for years to just start the year on Christmas Day. I went round and round with David Stern about that one. So why not just start the season on Christmas Day and play through July? Why are you trying to go against the NFL in October and November and in December? So, you know, any sort of delay this year would obviously push next year probably to that, to around a December start. And then they can make the decision of always keeping it that way or eventually over the next couple of years trying to dial it back and get it back to where it goes. Obviously, the money is very important, and the money revolves around the number of games. So I do think that there will be some attempt, a pretty strong attempt, to get back and have some sort of championship. I know the Cavs legally can reopen their facility May 8th. And they called, I think we just posted a story on this. They called the governor's office recently to see if they can or not, because the NBA said, May 8th, teams that have stay-at-home orders that are loosening can open on May 8th, but not gyms in Ohio. So the Cavs called and talked to the lieutenant governor and said, do they fall into the category of gyms, or can they start to reopen? And the lieutenant governor's office told them they can reopen on May 8th, but the Cavs have not made any sort of decision yet as to whether or not they're going to do that. That's what the team explained to us. So, and I think everyone is sort of like feeling that way right now. They're trying to see what everyone else is doing. Once one does it, a lot of others are probably going to fall in line. The big fear, you know, I think this has been said and written. The big fear is guys are getting really antsy and guys want to play. And the fear is they're going to find their way to Georgia or Florida, one of these states that are really opening up, and they're going to get in the gym there, and that could cause more problems down the road with infections and everything else. So that's really, I think, at the root of this, of why the NBA is going to start trying to open facilities, is because guys are getting anxious and antsy, and they want to get back to the gym. And it's really for their own protection. They're trying to make sure that they don't go, literally, go into a YMCA or go into, a health club with a hoop and maybe cause more problems for themselves and their teams down the road.
Are they paying attention? Jason Lloyd joining us on the show. Are they paying attention at all to what NASCAR is doing here over the next few weeks, where they're going to have 7 races in 11 days, and if they get out of that, they might go, okay, green light, away we go, or is it just not even on their radar?
I think everything's on. I wrote a couple weeks ago, this is like a radio show's dream, because anything goes, and every scenario you can imagine has been thrown against the wall, discussed, picked apart, dissected. Any crazy idea, they'll listen to it. So if NASCAR can come out of that, okay, that could really start to open the doors for other leagues. I think personally, that's just my opinion, that everyone is watching everyone else. Everyone else has seen what everyone else is doing. You know, my concern is the Japanese Baseball League and the Chinese Basketball League have tried multiple times to restart, and they haven't been able to get there. So, and they were obviously before us on all of this stuff. They had to shut down prior to us. So I guess I'm getting a little bit more cautiously optimistic that there will be baseball and basketball this summer in some form and some variety. You know, I know Woj wrote overnight that the Orlando venue is gaining steam across the league. In baseball, I don't think it's going to be the Arizona plan for a while. I thought it was absolutely going to be the Arizona plan of putting all the teams in Arizona. It sounds like baseball, you know, Ken Rosenthal wrote a couple weeks ago that baseball's getting more aggressive to where, you know, they foresee teams playing in their own stadiums this summer without fans, but at least in their own stadiums. And again, there's the whole thought that the longer you push this back, it leaves the opportunity to possibly have fans for playoffs and for playoff games. Maybe by then you can get some sort of fans back. So it's complicated, and I don't mean for that to be an easy way out. But you know, if you start too soon, obviously there's a risk of infection. Plus, you minimize the chance of fans being in attendance for the championship. So the longer you can push this out, the better. But obviously for baseball, you're going to be playing in December at some point, and then, you know, then you're playing indoors for a World Series, and I don't know. So I wish I could tell you, you know, this is the way it's going to go. I don't think anybody knows. But I do think I've become a little bit more optimistic that they're trying, and I do think that there will be some form of sports late this summer into the fall.
Jason Lloyd with us on the hotline. Browns draft in the books, getting really high marks from around the NFL. What'd you think?
I thought it was great. I wrote, let's be cautiously optimistic here, because Pro Football Focus gave it an A+, but they also gave the Corey Coleman, Cody Kessler draft an A. So, you know.
All right. Come on, man. You can't nail them all. Let's go.
What's your problem? What's wrong with you?
I know, right?
It's Friday.
But I thought it was for, you know, what they did made sense. It was logical. You understood them moving around. The way that they picked up an extra third, I thought was great. They didn't really have to follow that far. And they got an extra third-round pick for next year. So they're set up with extra picks next year in, what, 3, 4, and 5? They address needs. Do they fill needs? We'll find out in the fall if they fill the needs. But Jedrick Wills looks like a monster. Yeah, I think it's great. I would like to see another linebacker. You know, the linebacker core to me is a little frightening for the AFC North and for some of the guys they're going to be going up against. You're putting a lot of expectations and a lot of pressure on Mac Wilson and Sione Takitaki. You know, Phillips was a great tackler at LSU. We'll see if it translates to the NFL. I thought it was logical. It was sound. They didn't try and outsmart themselves. They didn't try and keep trading down. They had a guy they really liked at 10. He was there at 10, and they took him. It was like a high-functioning NFL franchise.
Jason Lloyd joining us on the hotline here. What, real quick, what's an acceptable season for you this season? Give me
Anything.
A record. Give me a record. Oh, come on. Give me an acceptable record.
That's not going to work.
Come on, let's go.
Oh, I thought you meant coming back.
No, come on. Give me a number. Let's go.
Oh, God. What's acceptable?
Yeah.
An improvement over last year? That has to be viewed as acceptable. If they improve on last year's record, that's acceptable.
So you're going to be okay with – hold on. You're going to be okay with 7-9 with this roster?
Boy.
Eight and eight. 8-8.
Wow, you set a high bar, don't you?
8-8 Well, look at what we did last year.
Okay. Well, I know I tanked everything out to go 8-8 and get two consecutive first overall draft picks. It's awesome.
Hey,
I didn't realize we were that far behind.
Year, I said 10-6 last year, and that was a disaster. So I'm not even putting a number on
it. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
It has to be 8-8
They're saying it's Freddie Kitchens' fault.
What's that?
They're saying it's Freddie Kitchens' fault. That's why they fired him. I mean, it's not your fault.
It definitely is Freddie's fault. I was telling you guys that.
Wearing clothes, like if you had to go out today, could you go out in what you're wearing, or are you just slothing around in what you wear usually to the studios?
Whatever. I'm in shorts and a t-shirt pretty much every day. I go out in shorts and a t-shirt. I don't care. It could be 30 degrees. I go out in shorts.
Oh, great. All right.
So he's wearing his pajamas.
Yeah, you're wearing your pajamas.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Just roll out of the rack and away you go. All right, Jason, we thank you for the time, buddy. All the best.
See you, boys.
The great Jason Lloyd joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I have a commentary when we come back about that. And LeBron says he wants a season. And I think it might cause you folks to try to find an asterisk. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.